doing a thing or not?
It's doing a thing.
Okay, it's doing a thing.
We're in. We're in.
So what was this thing you wanted to show me?
Okay, before we do that, we must note the fact, folks.
Yes.
This is IP.
Inaudible.
Inaudible pontification.
Yes.
I'm Henry.
I'm Dylan.
And we are under a Tony Abbott regime.
Oh, wait, were we...
We weren't.
Were we not?
We weren't under it. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so for all you American listeners...
Or anyone.
Or anybody else, true. Basically, we are now being run by the Mitt Romney of Australia. So that's a thing.
And we still haven't actually felt the effect of it yet because he hasn't done anything.
He's done some stuff.
What stuff's he done?
All the funding to preserve the Great Barrier Reef has been shut off.
So oh, I heard that he was trying to, like, they're considering doing some oiling stuff there.
Yeah. And
which is,
there's, like, several million dollars that they spent on preserving the Great Barrier Reef because we've kind of fucked it up already. Not anymore. So, you know that, like, one of the wonders of the world that is in our, like, coast...
Yeah.
That is a massive tourist attraction that also gets us a lot of money.
Yeah.
Well, it probably won't exist in, like, 15 years.
Because... Well, that's number one. What else has he done?
I can't remember other things. He's done a few other things, but I can't remember them.
You know, at some point when the world is blowing up and there's fire everywhere, you just kind of just sit back and say, fuck.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I mean,
we can't do anything. We did what we could. We voted.
We voted against him, but it didn't really work out.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of dumb people, and there's this guy called Rupert Murdoch that likes to own all of the newspapers in the entire world, and likes to advertise...
Americans know about Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, yeah, they know him too, yeah.
But yeah, so he owns all the media, basically.
Yeah,
so, or if he doesn't, he scares all the media.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to fuck with Rupert Murdoch, so...
But anyway, let's not talk about that. This is not a politics podcast.
Sorry, you know, it kind of affects us.
Yeah, just a little bit.
So, you know, we will document the days of the end of the world.
Yeah.
You can come to this podcast.
What's the date, by the way?
It is the 16th of September.
We should probably start doing that. Apparently that's a thing people like to hear.
Okay, so...
We had a technical difficulty and it stopped recording for no reason.
But don't worry, you guys are going to be all in on what's going on.
Okay, so let's feed through this quickly because we've already talked about it once.
Okay, so basic gist is there are four panels of an art contest that DC released where you could basically... redraw the panels from an issue that was going to come out. You know, you're an artist, you want to get into the comics industry, so, you know, this is a way for you to get your name out there and maybe get a chance to be a part of it. And it's a crazy Deadpool-ish kind of thing they're doing with Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn is nothing like she was back in the day. Anyway, so the three of the panels are basically weird stuff, like inside a whale's mouth tickling something and...
Just weird shit.
That
doesn't really matter.
The fourth panel is basically Harley Quinn sitting naked in a bathtub with all these appliances hanging, and she's about to drop them and kill herself. And the internet freaked out about this one, let's say. You know, it went crazy, and everyone kind of freaked out. Everyone was basically pointing out the fact that DC is kind of fucking up recently. Just in a business sense, they already are, because they keep... firing artists at the 11th hour, like, or changing stuff at the final, just before the end, which doesn't work in comics, because comics take months to prepare.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you could possibly do that with television and some other stuff, but this would be like in video games, like, a month before, like, you know, a couple months before, be like, no, we got a whole new gameplay mechanic we're going to throw in, because we have to, because that's what the kids like, which I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do that a lot.
They do, and it's dumb. And lots of artists and creators have just been like, I don't want to work for a company that does that, you know? And there have been some other controversies, like they won't allow two women to get married in the DC universe, which they allowed a man, which is dumb and should just be a thing.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that, where there was, like, these artists... I can't remember what story
it was. Okay, it was basically the Batwoman comic. They wanted...
Batwoman, that's what it was. Yeah. Apparently, and then they just, like, quit. They'd, like, quit their jobs because they were too sick of executives, like, telling them, no, you can't do that type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read about that somewhere.
You know...
But anyway, let's talk about Harley Quinn. That's more important.
Okay, but the point is, she was... It was just, like, you know, some people were calling it, like, sexualizing suicide, which...
Is kind of true.
It's... I like to take a balanced approach, but when it's an art contest that you release on the internet... Where you allow artists to...
You allow not only artists, but fans...
Fans, any...
To draw canonized images of a naked superhero or supervillain, I suppose.
Character. Yeah, whatever.
it's kind of not going to go well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think DC needs to search Rule 34 and maybe expand their view of the internet. But anyway, it was bad, but there have been some funny reactions. My favorite being, well, one funny reaction, actually, which was the Hawkeye initiative. Now, everyone knows Hawkeye. Hawkeye from the Avengers, you know. He's the Archer guy, right? Okay, so what these people decided to do was take Hawkeye and put him, basically take any female image of a comics character, right, a superhero, where they're doing those weird poses like Wonder Woman where their backs are arched or whatever, and just switch them with Hawkeye.
Oh, that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah. So it's basically just a Tumblr filled with images of, like, terrible image and then proving why that image is bad.
But, I mean, at the same time, you could do the same thing and put females into the male figures.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily, like, exclusive to females at all. I think males in comics are drawn just as gratuitously as females are.
Here's the argument that, at least I've heard, is that those male positions are meant to empower men.
Yeah, cool. Of course, I understand that, because pretty much only men read comics. But...
I mean, they'd be bad and it would look bad, but...
I mean, empowering men is kind of basically the same thing as, like, objectifying women, really. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, I agree with that. Like, I think...
I think it's a cool idea that they're doing this, and I think it's important that people
They thought they'd flood the whole art box with Hawkeye initiative photos.
Oh, that's a cool idea, too. Yeah. I like that. But,
but anyway...
Naked Hawkeye? It better be a naked Hawkeye. I mean, because it wouldn't make sense otherwise, really.
Yeah, just having
but
Hawkeye.
Anyway, I think it's... While it's really cool that they're doing that and it's important, and I like that, I think it's important that there's a plane and they can probably hear that, right?
Probably.
But we're just going to wait for the plane to pass. Okay. What needs to be done is for there to just be kind of like a general acceptance that, that comics kind of should kind of grow up a little bit.
Well... What,
and that requires the changing of the way both women and men are drawn in comics.
I agree. I think, and on a general... Oh, could you close the window, please?
Yeah.
There's...
The window's closed, dude.
No, just, like, do the thing. But, in terms, like, honestly, on a general level, I think, when I think about how men and women are portrayed, I think it's bad on both ends.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people don't want to broach it because they get all dismissive, like, white people don't need to deal with stuff. And it's like, I'm not saying this in the sense that I want White History Month. That's dumb, okay? But, you know, I just think that we need to discuss how, like, say, if we're talking about how little girls get affected by images, shouldn't we be talking about how little boys are affected by images? Because that's going to be bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
I remember, I can't remember where I heard this or read this. But someone was, like, talking about how it's really dumb that Superman's, like, this ultra-muscly dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, he's, like, the Man of Steel, as they say, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the reason he's strong is because of, like, his powers and stuff, not because of his muscles, right?
Yeah.
And then there was, like, some other thing they said where, like, if he's on Earth, he, like, actually can't physically, like, change his body mass or something like that.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense that he has muscles. And they actually kind of put some kind of half-scientific explanation for it.
Well...
But it was kind of funny. It was like, actually, Superman should really be, like, a really lanky-looking dude who just happens to be really powerful. I think that's kind of cool. And I think if they did that, I would really be into that.
I kind of would like a Superman comic that was just, like, the guy who, like, does all the Superman stuff. But he's just kind of, you know, a dude.
He just looks like a kind of a weak little guy, you know what I mean?
Which would be a cool comparison to Batman, who's all like...
Yeah, because Batman has to have muscles because he's a fucking guy, right?
Yeah.
Superman's an alien. He can look like whatever he wants, really.
But honestly, my favorite Superman comics aren't the ones where they detail his abs and shit. They just have him, like, just kind of being normal.
Yeah. But anyway, that was a cute little thing I read somewhere. I was like, that's kind of cool.
I like that. I think they're... Beyond the sexual, the fact that just how the bad part about sexism that's happening in our culture, it's just that comics have so many things that they need to do that I don't think they're going to do because of just their business model. Like,
yep.
The issues model is so bad.
Yep.
It's like, here we're going to release an increment of a story, maybe 12 times a year if you're lucky. We're going to release it's going to probably have maybe of the. It's probably going to have like maybe a scene, maybe like half an hour, maybe in the lives of these characters. And there are probably only going to be, and like, you know, good luck if you get a Hulk comic, which is basically a bad Hulk comic, not a good one. A bad Hulk comic, which is basically just punch, 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 punch. General Ross has his bit at the beginning, General Ross has his bit at the end, and then it's just punch, 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 punch.
Punching is cool, man. I don't see the problem.
Well, the problem is you paid $7 for literally the equivalent of a conversation and a punch.
I don't see the problem. Punching is cool, man. I think there is a place in comics for punching comics where only punching happens. I'm not even joking. I think that's a really cool thing.
Okay, but the point is,
as long as it's not, as long as it's not being like sexist or something weird like that, if it's just about punching, I'm totally okay with that.
Okay, but there's another layer of this that gets bad.
Okay,
comics naturally don't make $1 million a day. They don't make the money that you'd need to keep a thing. An industry afloat, so...
That's why they have those movies.
They have...
Those money-maker movies.
Yeah, but they also have ads. And
yeah.
You're probably going to find most every second or third page with an ad. Which
not many. It's like fifth or so, usually, isn't it?
Sometimes. Okay. So if you're lucky, if it's good, it's a fifth one, and they're advertising probably other comics or whatever. But more often than not, sometimes you'll find half a book filled with ads, because they can't release the full story, because... And, you know, if I was, say, watching TV, and if I was getting this for free, I would be like, okay, I accept the ads. You know?
You're paying money for it. And yeah. Yeah, I get that.
You know.
But I also think...
I don't read a book, and it cuts up way...
The best thing we can do is just keep not buying issues, because who the fuck wants to do that anyway?
Yeah.
And then eventually, once all these fucking people that are still buying issues realize that they're idiots and stop buying issues, then maybe they'll stop doing issues.
Well, hopefully. But, you know, the industry is having a lot of shifts. I mean,
it's a perfectly legitimate thing to do, to just buy a trade every now and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing that, and they make it so that that's a very accessible thing to do, right?
Yeah.
In fact, the majority, when you go into a comic book store, the majority of the store is filled with trades and not issues. There's usually the issues section of the store.
Which is naturally given attention, but yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of shelf space, they spend more shelf space on trades and hardcovers and stuff than they do issues.
Yeah.
And that's kind of showing that issues are going away and no one really cares about them anymore. And there's those people that go out, what is it, Wednesday when issue comes out? Issues come out?
There's people
that go out on Wednesdays and buy every fucking new issue every week. They'll exist for a while, but I mean, you just don't buy them, and then it doesn't matter, really.
Well,
I don't see the problem.
The problem is that, well, two of the biggest companies who, you know, have a bit of clout, a lot of power, which they're going away because everyone's heading to trades, but because they have a lot of influence on the industry, because they're the two big comic publishers and they've got all the movies and stuff going out, that means that they're basically pushing lots of business practices. And if you're a comic book artist, it's really hard to be independent. Like, it's really hard.
Let's go to, like, Image Comics. They're pretty cool, and they're big now.
Well,
they're, like, just as big as DC or Marvel, really.
They were big, and then they weren't big, and now they're big again.
Now they're huge, man. They're Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm waiting for the day someone just says, let's make an Invincible superhero movie, because they bought all the other ones.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of a... I think they'd make, like, a CG movie or something from that.
I want to...
Or they'll make, like, a low-budget one. And it'll be done by, like, the guy... What's the guy that did Super and stuff? I forgot his name.
He's doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay, he's a big director now. Okay, they won't get him anymore. That guy's moved up in the world. Well, they'll get some guy like that. They'll get a guy that, like, did Chronicle and then make him do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Inevitably, DC... All the Marvel comics are going to be owned by Marvel at some point, so... They're going to have to find... They're not going to have a lot of options left in superheroes. They're going to have to go to the other, you know, other profitable superhero comics, because we can't make other stories based on comics or original stories.
But yeah, anyway, so...
But
yeah, I just think just don't buy issues and it's not a problem. That's the problem.
Well, you know, I like the stories of Marvel and DC, and I like what some people have done, and I just don't want them to fucking kill themselves.
I think we should just stop caring. I think, honestly, who even cares?
Oh, well.
There are, like, 1,000 good stories that you can read by DC and Marvel, and if they just never release a good story ever again, does anyone really care? Like, honestly.
True. But
just buy all the ones that people say are good, have those, like them, and just be okay with the fact that maybe there'll only have been 100 years of Superman stories for you to read. You know what I mean? Just fucking, like, it's okay. You know what I mean? There are other things that people really love that there is only one of. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Whereas there are literally thousands of stories about Superman, it's okay if they were to just stop making them. I would totally be alright with that.
Okay. Well, it's gonna be interesting to see how DC and Marvel, because they're gonna be kept employed by the movie, so it doesn't...
Yeah, of course. They're not going anywhere, but, like, I think if we just forget about them, in terms of the comics at least, I have no problem with just not even thinking they exist.
Yeah. Because
there's enough out there.
I found it weird that I've enjoyed, outside of Superman for some reason, the side stuff of the superheroes than the actual main stuff. Because it's always...
What do you mean?
Well, like, there was the animated TV shows of Batman and the Justice League,
okay.
Which was more fun than reading Batman and the Justice League.
Yeah.
Because you could just watch an episode and be like, yeah, I got all the information I need.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's the movies, obviously. So, you know, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, but there was another thing that happened in DC News that I love this week. That's totally...
Man,
not
what
true.
Is this fucking comic book episode?
Tis. Robin. Justin Biebs.
That's fake.
I know.
He also tweeted that... Okay, so if you guys don't know, Justin Bieber tweeted a script of the Batman versus Superman.
It's a Funny or Die thing, I bet.
Yeah, he said the tweet he did before that on the same day was like, I'm going to do something with Funny or Die.
Yeah.
So I guess, obviously, it's probably a joke where Justin Bieber is Robin in the new movie, and it's not actually going to be a thing.
But, you know...
And if it... Actually, to be fair, though, if it is a thing, I wouldn't be surprised.
I would actually be happy. I mean... I'd kind of not be because I'm like, well, you know, I'm an actor and stuff, but it would make me happy.
Hey, he got shut up in that one episode of, like, NCIS or something, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That made a lot of people happy, actually.
There were, like, gifts about that for, like, several weeks afterwards.
Yeah, because we cannot let this train... Gotta keep it rolling. But if it's gonna keep it rolling, I would have liked that for one reason alone. You know why?
Why?
Because the Batman fan base has gotten toxic and annoying. And I don't mean being into Batman and liking Batman. I mean the fans who send death threats to reviewers who didn't like The Dark Knight Rises.
There are people like that for everything, dude.
There are, but it was a bit extreme with The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
It was a little bit extreme.
Of course, but...
I'm not saying these things don't exist.
But, like, dude, just fucking pretend those people don't matter, because they don't matter. No one cares about them except for themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no reason to, like, even consider them as people that exist.
But the problem is it's the same time when everyone gets pissed about Ben Affleck and stuff, and it...
Oh, whatever. Just fucking... Just don't care, and then it doesn't affect you at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, there'll always be people that are just enormous cunts about things all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there'll always be people that like things because they want to like things rather than because they're good. You know what I mean? That's just the way of the world. And just, like, ignore it. It doesn't matter.
All right.
Just don't get worked up about it, because then you're just basically doing what they want you to do.
All right, then.
Just chill, yo. Just chill.
I don't know.
Yeah, the Batman fan base is particularly bad. I'm not denying that. But, like,
it's just,
whatever.
They've started to affect the things that usually I enjoy about Batman.
No, just, you can still watch Batman and be like, I like this.
I don't know if I'm
going
to be able to watch the next Batman thing because it seems...
I think you are. And I think you're going to be like, you know what? Regardless of whether there are dumb Batman fans out there, I am going to like this or dislike this based on its merits rather than based on the people that like it.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the thing is being created with sort of an intent to appeal to this group, and it's...
I don't necessarily
annoying.
Think that's the case. If it's being created with the intent
Batman
to appeal to this group...
Batman versus Superman?
Yes, but then there's also...
Making
that,
a quote about the fact of Batman beating Superman?
Yes, but you know what else? They made Ben Affleck Batman, and none of those people liked that. You know what else? There's a possibility they're making Justin Bieber Robin. Do you think those fans are going to like that? Obviously, they're not appealing to them 100%. You know what I mean?
I know
Maybe
what
they're just making decisions... Maybe they were like, you know what, Batman versus Superman would be a cool idea. Maybe it wasn't like, you know what, there are tons of really, really fucking angry, like carnivorous Batman fans that would love to see him beat up Superman. Maybe they were just like, we have a good script, maybe we'll do it. You know what I mean?
They don't.
Like, you're making assumptions. That's
no,
all I'm saying.
They haven't got a script. They...
What, are you fucking part of DC? Do you know these things?
They will not have a script now. Not when they've released, like, this year, the information that they're going to be making a movie based on it. They're not... They wouldn't have a script
for it. Of course they have a script. That's the first thing you do, is you have a script.
No, it's not.
That yeah, someone writes a script, and then they're like, hey, I wrote this script, will you look at it? And they're like, oh, that's either good,
okay,
and we'll make it, or that's bad, and we won't make it.
Most movies...
That's how movies are made, dude.
Not superhero movies. Superhero movies are like, okay, we want this superhero to exist, and we want this thing to be a thing. Now,
yeah, of course, but I'm sure there were, like, a bunch of screenwriters that were like, hey, I'll write a script for the next Superman movie. Maybe they'll choose mine. You know what I mean? One of them was like, hey, I'm going to write Batman vs. Superman. And then they were like, here. And then they were like, hey, that's a pretty cool idea. We'll do that. Don't be so, like, apocalyptic about things. You know what I mean? This movie is going to be either good or bad, but let's not worry about that until we see it.
All I'm saying is that it's not like there are certain things that are being affected by this fan base, and that's why I'm a bit tentative.
Fucking calm down, is all I'm saying.
I'm allowed to get annoyed about some things, okay?
I'm just saying, look, I really don't think this is...
Not all of us can smoke a joint and then just sit in the corner and...
I'm not smoking a joint, alright? Look, I'm just saying, like, this isn't a thing that is... I don't think this is affecting it as much as you think it is. I think they're just making a movie.
Okay, well...
Of course they're making a movie to appeal to people. That's how they make their movies.
I'll say I want to believe you, and I'll try and aim for that, as I usually do. I just kind of...
Just watch this movie as a movie.
I mean, okay, you say... Look, all I'm saying is... I don't, like, go out and search the Batman fan base. But it's like every just now and then, for some reason... Even though I'm not looking for them, I just...
Yeah, of course. I see them online, too, when I read stuff and I read comments and it's like, oh, look, that's one of those people. I don't, like, fucking, like, punch my fist at my TV because I'm angry or something. I just kind of move on and go on to the next fucking tab or whatever.
There have been days where I've been, like, I've just walked away and been like, eh, whatever, and then it just keeps happening continuously.
Yeah, I see it. I see it all the time. I'll see a ridiculous Batman post at least, like, once every few days. You know what I mean? It doesn't make me angry. I just keep scrolling. It doesn't matter.
Say angry. I mean, it's just annoying, okay?
It's just your... Look, just, like, just don't worry about it. You know what I mean? This movie is just a movie.
Well, anyway, what I was saying originally was I kind of hope this is a thing. I know it's not going to be a thing, but I just kind of, part of me wants it to be a thing, because that would just...
I mean, I think it would be really cool if they did it and he actually was a really good actor. That would be pretty cool.
It'd be like, I mean, we've seen Timberlake do a good job, so it's...
Exactly.
Not,
I mean, it's not like it's unheard of.
I mean, I'm guessing the kid devotes himself to whatever he does.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we have to remember that he was a talented musician. Well, to some degree at least, before he got picked up by whoever picked him up.
I've listened to his song, and for pop songs, like, I mean, I doubt he wrote them exclusively.
I don't think he writes them anymore.
But
I know he certainly used to before he got picked up. I doubt that he still writes his own music.
I don't think it's so much a writer that I would compliment him on. I would say, like, he just seems like a good performer.
He probably is a good performer.
And everyone getting bothered by all his comments, it's just like, guys... You never cared about... Like,
put yourself in his shoes, you'd probably be as ridiculous,
like,
as
I read someone saying, like, no. The reason why we're annoyed about Justin Bieber is because he was... Not before, but now that he's an arsehole, I'm like, oh, shut up.
Now that he's an arsehole, he's cool. I like him. I want to read about him being an arsehole. That's way more interesting than he's, like, some pretty boy 15-year-old that no one cares about.
But I look at them, I'm like, you hated him before. Now you've just got incentive to post about it, okay?
Yeah, that's pretty true.
Shut the fuck up.
Interesting. Why would you not like this? You know what I mean? Now he's got some character to him. Now he's not just like a doll that someone fucking made up and decided to like print money with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now he's like a person. I love it. I can't wait for him to release his fucking album where he's like really high on cocaine in like 3 years. You know what I mean? Where he's talking about just like fucking as many sluts as he can. And he's just like such a cunt. And he's like probably like going to be collaborating with like
someone,
with like Waka Flocka Flame or something. It's going to be amazing.
Well, someone needs to take like, I don't know, like all these pop stars that keep popping up to the same place they took Miley Cyrus and just give them a whole bunch of cocaine. Just give them the cocaine and let them go wild for a weekend.
I reckon that's seeing really like fucked up trashy pop stars is at least entertaining, right?
Yeah.
People always fucking freak out like, oh.
Look,
they're trying to sell you with trash and sex now, and at least that's more interesting than them being, like, cute little kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I haven't actually watched the video because I just...
What video?
The Miley twerking thing.
What, can we not talk about this?
No, no, I'm just saying, like, everyone freaks out about these things, and I just... I don't know.
Like, pretty clear that she was like, hey, you know what? I'm not a Disney girl anymore. I can sell myself with sex now, because that works. People like that. And now everyone's, like, flipping their shit, but look how many fucking millions of hits she has on YouTube, you know what I mean? She's, like, stolen all of the money of these people that hate her because she's sexy now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's working. She's fucking doing exactly what she wants you to do. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I kind of, part of me, it would tickle my funny bone if these tween styles became more a part of the people that seem to get so uncomfortable about it. Anyway, so what else has been going on? So I recently bought two HD collection thingamajiggies.
What was the second one?
Well, the first one was Journey. The second
that
one
wasn't
was...
an HD collection, that was just games that exist. It's not a collection. And you've had Journey for like years.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? It hasn't been out for years.
Journey,
had it, like, since Flo, it came out.
Flower. I had it, but then something happened when I had to replace a hard drive thing, and I just...
Oh, on your PlayStation?
Yeah, and I was like...
You know, you could just log into your account and re-download it.
I tried. I went over the thing, and I tried to find it and download it, and I couldn't find it. I was like, you know, I'm not really desperate to play Journey that much, so I just went on my way, and I was like, you know, I guess I'll get Journey. I'm not really that bothered to... because I wanted to play Flower and Flow, and I wanted to get all the art and soundtrack stuff that they had.
Uh-huh.
So that was cool. And I got my mum to play Journey, and I was happy about that.
She liked it? Did she play the whole thing?
Yeah, she played the whole thing.
It's pretty cool.
Made her play the whole thing, and she's not a gamer, so there were certain moments I had to be like, okay, you have to do this, Mum.
Really? With Journey? It's like the least gamey game ever made.
You would think, right? But there are certain things that
what
we...
What did she do? Give me some examples. I'm interested.
Okay, so... Second area where you're like, you be on the intro, you can meet people and stuff, right?
Mm.
And the first thing she couldn't get was when there's a light in the corner, that was when someone was there. But that's not like super.
What?
You know, when there's someone online who is in the area with you, the game, like there's a light that's in the corner of the screen that shows that they're there.
Oh, I never noticed that when I played.
Okay.
That doesn't really matter, does it?
No, it doesn't. But
I played the whole game without having any...
But I was like,
didn't even realize that.
But she, you know, didn't realize there was another person there, basically, even though there were noises.
Sorry.
But anyway, the thing that was funny was when she's like, one of the little symbols that expands your scarf,
mm-hmm.
she couldn't figure out how to jump onto it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, explaining how to use the controls was fun. But
does the game tell you how to use the controls at all, or does it just, like, let you do it yourself?
It just lets you do it yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hard. You know, you got to, like, move the analog stick and press X and square, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, she still got through it. She still had fun and saw the beauty of Journey.
It's pretty cool.
Game is so good.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is, like, one of the few games I just start playing, and then I actually have to say to myself, like, the other night, no. We're going to do something else
today. I find that really weird, because that's, like, such a... not a game I would think of as, like, a replayable game. That's such, like, a one-time experience kind of game for me.
It's
funny how you've played it, like, so many times. I'll play that game again in, like, a year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'll probably play it, like, once every few years to, like, remember that it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, like, I couldn't play that game, like, more than once a year. That's... like, nothing happens. Like, you know what I mean?
I know, look, to a certain extent I get it, but the thing about replay is that you get to basically, it's kind of this whole hero journeys theory thing that I'm not gonna go into too much, but the idea of, like, returning, you know, completing the journey, and anyway, the point is, when you meet someone and you've done it before, and you meet them again and you guide them,
no, I hate that. See, I think we've talked about this a few times now.
I don't know why you hate the fact of the idea that you know something over.
Because you're anonymous players. When it in a game, you've got to remember this is in a video game environment, right?
Yeah.
When as soon as you show that one player is in any way better than the other player, that doesn't create like, oh, I'm the wise Yoda that's going to guide you through this. It's like, no, look, I'm better than you. You should
never gone through that with Journey.
It's just, even though the game is the least hostile game ever made, just the fact that you can show someone that you're better than them by your appearance, it's just exactly the same as just having, like, a level above your head that shows your level is higher than them.
Honestly, I've never seen that. I've never experienced that.
But you know why? Because you can't talk to the player. Maybe they look at you and they're like, wow, what a cunt. Look at this guy who's better than me.
I've met white robes and people that have been better than me, and I've been like, yeah.
You have, but like, you don't know what your other...
So you mean the person in a white robe who, you know, they're like, what do you think they're doing? Like...
No, but like, if I was aware of what that meant, I don't think, from memory, I didn't experience that. I only met people that were like, first-timers, I'm pretty sure, when I played it. But like, if I saw someone and I knew that symbolized them being like, people that are playing the game for the third or fourth time or whatever, I'd be like, I don't want to play with you. I want to play with someone new. You know what I mean?
I get that to a certain extent, but honestly, I like that idea. The idea of meeting someone who's...
No, I don't like that.
And it works. I've played the game a lot, okay? It works.
I just think it just enforce superiority. And that is the game, of all games ever made, that is the game that needs that the least.
I think, honestly, what it does is it pushes the idea that, yeah, there are people that have done things before you. They have seen the path. And what's great about it is that when you're, especially in those bits that are scary, getting help from someone, like, I met like a new player who basically, you know, sort of was seeing these scary beasts, and I basically just sort of guided them through the scariest part in the game. And it was still scary for them, because first time at least, it's creepy as hell and scary, but, you know, helping someone and showing them the way... I've never gone through that in a game. I've never gone through the idea of helping someone. And, you know, I quite like that. And
I think a better way to do that, a more kind of true way to do that, is just to have like a co-op game where you're playing with your friends and your friend has played through the game before and you're playing through it for the first time.
The anonymous aspect of it is what really helps the whole thing.
No, I just don't think you can assume that the person you're playing with thinks the same way that you do in that regard.
I think when you're in the desert and then you meet someone and then they're there and you can see that they're different, you know...
But you have no way of communicating...
You're only thinking about...
You have no way of understanding that they feel the same way about that you do.
You don't, but you look at the whole situation and you just go with... You just trust.
You do, but how do you know they do?
Yeah, I don't... Look,
that's the way
I can't 100% say that you know, that I know, but I've gone online, I've looked up forums, and I've seen that people have indeed not felt like this person was an elitist douche.
Look, I think this is the best game of last year, okay? I'm not saying this game's bad, but I just think that I don't think the game lends itself to replayability at all, and I think this white robe thing is the worst aspect of the game.
I disagree. I've certainly seen enough people who have gone through the same experience that I don't. And I think it's replayable because guiding someone through the whole area is something else. And it's something nice. You know, I quite like that.
I think we've kind of gone over this. We've probably even talked about this on the podcast before.
No, we haven't talked about the white robe. That's all we talked about. No!
Sorry, I just like was fiddling with my phone
Do
and
not
accidentally turned it on.
Advertising the other podcast. No, you already know about that podcast. We don't even need
that. But yeah, that's
okay.
That.
Well, the other thing I played was the Kingdom Hearts HD remix. You all know if
okay,
you
can we address the two parts of this thing real quick?
Okay.
One is the Star Wars version of this remix thing, and two is the actual game.
Yeah.
Okay, come on, go.
Okay, so first up, basically, the Square Enix lost the original, like, I get confused as to
have
what...
Have you actually read about this?
Yeah, I've read about this, but...
that's fucking weird.
It's weird, right? So, what, they basically released an article that said, like, this is why this HD remix is special, because we had to really remake a lot of the stuff in here, because we lost the master key, or... something.
Master files.
Yeah.
But you can just get those back. Those are in any of the fucking... If you just get a PlayStation 2 copy of Kingdom Hearts, all those things are in there.
Apparently there are things that they're missing because... Anyway.
It's so weird.
Whatever it is, that's the big deal they made. But there are certain things in the game that have been changed and, like, certain things that make it feel a bit weird. And it's... So, for example, you go to Destiny Islands, the first area you go to... And they've changed the music, which was an acoustic guitar, to a synth. And if you don't know the difference between an acoustic guitar and a synth, they're pretty different. They're like, one gives you the feeling of being on a beach and feeling all happy, and the other is like...
Synths can feel pretty beachy.
They can, but not this one. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they're amazing, but this...
I've heard some pretty beachy synths in my time, I'd say.
Okay. It doesn't sound... It's sort of like... It just reminds you that there is a beachy song that I could be listening
yeah.
to.
Yeah, so basically there's lots of these little things in the game that are different to how the game was before, and that's really weird.
Like, you'll go to... So, like, for example, sometimes in the animation, the characters will be a bit choppy, and they'll move, and they'll sort of be a bit...
Because they're just, like, lost frames or something? That's so weird.
And I don't get
it. How does that happen?
Because I looked at it, and I was like, no, this is a PS3 game. I mean, even if those things were there before, wouldn't you have smoothed it over? Like, wouldn't you have...
I don't know.
Maybe... I mean, I looked at the original stuff, and I'm like... Like, for example, there's this trailer they show it during when you don't do anything in the menu. It sort of just cuts to it.
Yeah.
And I've seen that trailer a couple times because I quite like it. It's not this choppy. And you're sort of watching and you're wanting to get into the music and stuff, but it just... They move a bit too off, you know?
That's super weird.
Yeah. And some of the gameplay... Like, I'm okay with the camera being fixed because the camera controls were fucking weird in the original
one. No, but you shouldn't change anything about the game is a thing.
I would.
The idea behind this is the preservation of games, because it's such a thing that doesn't happen ever in games.
I don't think this is why they did this, but I would like that.
Fucking, they shouldn't change. They should just re-release the game exactly how it was before. Just re-release.
Well, the other thing is that this is the final mix version that was never released in outside of Japan. So,
okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of okay, I guess.
Oh, so it's well, it's fine then. But I mean, there's still changes on that version, even right.
Well, I mean, they lost the master thing, so I'm guessing that includes Final Mix, so, you know.
It's so fucking strange. It's so strange.
Well, the problem with the Final Mix, if you don't know, is that, well, they didn't release it outside of Japan, so... Japan. So, they didn't record any English, like, they didn't record English voices for the scenes for Final Mix, because they didn't need to, you know? Like, why would you pay these Hollywood actors to do these scenes when you don't need to, you know? So, there'll just be this... There's this one scene with Riku who is shouting. Like, they got the little subtitles in the bottom going, like, Sora! Kairi! Or whatever shit. And it's like... It's just silent.
Wait, they couldn't even just put the Japanese in or something?
No. They just had, like, the sound effects and nothing else.
That's pretty weird.
So, I'm okay with that. And then there are some other weird changes. Like, the bosses... All the characters now have weird colors to them. The original one was kind of like black and blue and then red kind of thing. Now everything's kind of like yellow and white and just red, but like light and poppy kind of stuff. And I'm guessing it's because in Japan they're okay with stuff being a bit more poppy, but they decided to tone it down for the American release.
Well, the ultimate question is, which is the original then? Is this super, like, colourful, bright
thing, I don't know, because...
Or is what we played when we were kids the original?
I don't know, because it's like... I don't know, for me, I never questioned the original story, but I'm watching moments and I'm like, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't really work. There's some stuff that doesn't work scene-wise, but I'm sure it worked. If it wasn't so choppy, I wouldn't notice these stuff.
You probably would, let's be honest, yeah.
Yeah,
it's probably a pretty.
I mean, I've always been aware that there are just certain story points where Sora and Co. just sort of jump to conclusions in a way that's a bit awkward. Like Sora ends up in Travis Town and he's not worried about his family or home. He's just kind of worried about Sora and he's worried about Kairi and Riku. And I'm like,
yeah, man.
What about your family? What about your
fuck those guys?
I gotta get my honey.
Yeah, okay.
The entire adventure pretty much comes down to Sora and Riku trying to get with Kairi.
Yeah.
Just a really epic quest for Kairi's tale.
Yeah.
Because everyone liked that Kairi tale. I'm getting into it and I'm enjoying it, you know.
But, so let's not talk about this fucking preservation crap. Do you feel that the game is still as good as it was when you played it when you were, like, 8 or whatever, however old you were?
I think that... I'm trying to think, because it's not... It's certainly not... Like, I think there are several... things that have advanced as gaming has gone on. So, I'm fond of it, but I know for a fact, for example, how you move through the world, the jumping and stuff. I think that there is a structure here that could work, but there are certain things here that don't really fit together as well as they could.
Uh-huh.
You know, for example, if there is a cutscene, I don't like it when the average face looks like a zombie face. I think that the fighting system, I'm trying to find words. I think the game is good, but I think there are several areas that haven't held up as time has gone by.
But do you think even some of the things that you think are still good, how much is you being like blinded by nostalgia, and how much is the game actually being good?
Because
you've got to admit that you've said this a number of times, this is your favorite game, like, ever, right?
Yeah.
If you were a newcomer and had never played this series before, this is the first time you've ever played this, would you really like it?
Yeah, I don't think that if you... I think if you were new, you probably wouldn't. But I don't... I think that with games that are older, you have to sort of understand...
Well, no, I mean, yeah, you're coming in, you're aware of the fact that this game originally came out in, like, 2001.
I don't think anyone outside of people that were actually around at the time are actually enjoy Ocarina of Time, because they can only appreciate it. In much the same way that we're going to look at, like, games like Dark Souls today in 20 years, and we're going to only be able to appreciate
it. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. I think you can still play, like, Super Mario Bros.
I played Mario, well, okay... You can do that with Kingdom Hearts. There are things that you can say, okay, this is good, but...
Like what?
Well, you know, it's... Outside of the designs, it's... The way they set up the whole world is pretty... I think is pretty cool. You know, for example, in the intro, they basically just, like, have a weird cutscene that just, like, there's, like, water, and then you're going into the sea, and then you're waking up on the beach.
Yeah, I vividly remember that cutscene.
Okay, and then
with that really shitty pop song in the background that I loved when I was a kid.
Alright, whatever. But then you go through this void of darkness where...
Yeah, and then you fight the big boss guy and stuff. I remember all that stuff. But, like, you know,
as a
game, is it a good, like, well-designed game at all? Are the areas, like, interestingly designed, or are they just, like, areas? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they're interesting areas. I really enjoy exploring them just, you know, normally.
How far are you into it?
I've gotten to Alice in Wonderland.
What, about halfway through the game or something?
That's the second world. That's not halfway through.
Oh, really? Is that early?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I remember it being way later in the game.
No.
Okay.
You know...
How about that Little Mermaid level? That's, like,
I haven't
universally considered the worst level of all time in any video game.
In the second one, it is.
I haven't played the second...
The first one... The first one, it was... From what I remember...
fucking awful, dude.
I enjoyed it.
No. Oh, man, I'm excited for you to play that. Because I remember when I was a kid, I was like, damn, this is fucking bad. And I was a kid, right? I think the Nightmare Before Christmas level had the coolest boss fight, though.
Oh, that was so cool. You're, like, climbing up the tower, and then you get to the top.
And there was, like, the whole, like, dice game and stuff.
Yeah.
And then that was cool.
And then it just becomes the tower.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was cool. You know, I think that even though there's a lot of stuff here that just doesn't have that sort of, that big open world feel,
wouldn't want that, really.
No, but they get across a lot of stuff, even if it feels held down at times, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's still a good game. I don't think it's, you know... I certainly... Even though it is my favorite game, much like my favorite movie or TV show, I rarely put things up there as best thing of all time. Like, Journey is my favorite game, and that I could easily argue, but... I still enjoy it, still fun, but I'm not sure about this HD remix. They've made some changes that I'm just, you know, I know the original game wasn't this choppy, so.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's interesting. But what about you? Oh, wait, another thing I played was Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, fuck that shit. We can't talk about Plants vs. Zombies. Can we please not talk about that game?
Fine, what have you played?
Okay,
or watched.
So, last time we were here, I had just... decided to get back into my PlayStation stuff. I think we just talked about...
Yeah, you only talk about two games, but...
I don't think I even played it.
Well, you mentioned two games, but
okay,
yeah.
Well, so far I've bought... I've bought the Jak and Daxter trilogy. I've bought Demon's Souls, I've bought Bayonetta, I've bought Vanquish, I've bought Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, I've bought SSX, I've bought God Hand, and I think that's it. I think that could be it. But, so I've played through Jak and Daxter 1, it was cool. Not much really else to say about that game. That game's a really, really good game.
It's a solid, fun game.
But it's, yeah. I would like them to make another game like that for the PS4. Maybe Knack will be that game. Probably not, though.
It'd be nice.
But we'll see. But there really wasn't any game like that in PS3 era. There were just, like, no good kids games in this generation.
Which is a shame, because I like those games.
Yeah, I'd play those games again. If they make Jak 4 for the PS4, I'd buy that.
Yeah, you know,
I'd buy a PS4 to play that.
And, like, I'm not like, complimenting this as being anything amazing, but you'd watch it and you'd be like, wow, it's like a Saturday morning cartoon, basically.
Yeah.
You would, like, be like, oh, what's happening? What's happening with the Dark Ones and whatever? And you would, I think what I'm saying is you would care enough that it would feel like, you know, like it mattered at least enough to where you...
Like, just the game was a really well-designed game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you were like, it was just a really standard, like, 3D platformer, but it was really, really good.
Yeah.
And it had really, really nice level design, it had really beautiful color palette and stuff like that.
And
it
was, like...
Cool, and it had, like, that... Oh, the whole, like, art style was really nice.
There were a bunch of games like that. There was the Sly Raccoon trilogy that was Ratchet and Clank.
And then, in the PlayStation 3 era, they all moved on to make Resistance, a World War II-based alien shooter.
Or they
made Infamous, like, this dark and gritty supervillain story... Or they made Uncharted, this fucking, like, adult, like, cinematic Indiana Jones movie.
Uncharted is the only one of those that you would think was maybe kind of had some...
I mean, at least it had colours in it, right? Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It was like they were teens that discovered sex and had to prove they knew about sex.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Because they hadn't figured it out before,
yeah.
And I was like... Guys, we liked you before.
Yeah. I'd much rather play those PS2 games that those companies made than the fucking ones they made this generation.
Like, who? Which one did Resistance? Like, which one did they
make? They made Ratchet and Clank.
Okay, I would much rather... Like, I enjoyed Resistance, but...
Resistance is okay.
I enjoyed...
It's not awful. I would rather play Resistance than, like, vomit into a fucking pile of shit, you know what I mean?
I thought it was a cool way to do an alien invasion story,
and then
shoot stuff.
It's totally a game that you would play and be like, I am not offended by this game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ratchet and Clank was fucking cool, man. Ratchet and Clank was legit.
I really need to get into that.
Ratchet and Clank was so good.
Let's
be honest right here. Jak and Daxter is better than Ratchet and Clank.
Is it?
Hands down.
Okay.
Yes. Jak and Daxter is way more, like really meticulously designed and stuff like that. Ratchet and Clank is still good, but Jak and Daxter is better.
I played Ratchet and Clank the first time, and I don't know what it was, because everyone kept talking about it, and it's one of those ones you just see everywhere.
It's just really, really, really nice to look at. That's what it is.
But I started playing it, and I don't know what it was. I just couldn't get into it for some reason.
Because you're an evil fucking piece of...
But I didn't get far into it, and I rented it, so I had, like...
Did you? Which one did you play?
I played number one.
Okay.
So,
I assume you'll probably buy that. They've released the HD collection of that series, right?
If you buy the HD collection, I might just borrow it.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Well, you give me Last of Us and I'll give you that. Is that a good trade?
That's a pretty good trade.
Alright, cool.
Not a full trade, just a borrowed trade.
Yeah, borrowed trade. But, anyway, so I was playing that. I played Jak and Daxter, so I played it all the way through in, like, a sitting. I was like, oh, that was short.
I have basically completed Jak and Daxter. It's really easy.
And then I was like, that's cool. Now let's play Jak 2. So I played about 80% through Jak 2 in one sitting of, like, maybe 4 hours. And then I turned it off and I was like, okay, I'll go back and play that. I'll go back and finish it in a couple days or so. So I went back, tried to load my game, and realized that the game doesn't auto-save unless you save first time.
Games have come a long time.
And I was like, oh, so I just didn't have my save files anymore. And I was like, well, I really don't want to play through this game again just so I can finish, like, the tiny bit that I hadn't finished yet.
Mm.
So I spent maybe 5 or 6 days just not even looking at it, being like, no, I don't want to play it. And so this morning I sat down and I played through about half the game again, just skipping all the cutscenes and just powering through it until I get to where I was up to before. And I was pretty pissed off at that, but, I mean, it's not the worst game to play again, you know what I mean?
It's not the worst.
It's pretty short and it's pretty fucking good. I'd say Jak 2 is, like,
one of the best games on the PS2.
Well, like, Tim Rogers says it's the best, the most, like...
Oh, it's his favorite game.
It's it is the PS2 to him.
But anyway, I've also played some Bayonetta, and it's got a fantastic combat system that I don't think is as good as a lot of people think it is, but it's still pretty great. And the rest of the game is fucking horrendous and hideous, and I hate it.
Well...
And I think it's a problem, and I think people expect you to play through this game multiple times to really, like, understand it.
Oh,
you know?
I hate it when people say
that. I am not playing this game a second time.
If someone says you have to play it multiple... Like, if you have to
To be fair, it's like a four-hour game.
Okay.
But, like...
I will give a game one time to play, like Dark Souls. Okay? I'll be like, okay, clearly I have to get to a certain point in the game, and then I'll get it.
Yeah.
If I have to play it twice,
yeah,
fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't have time. Games take time.
I mean, to be fair, it's a short game. I mean, playing through the game twice still takes less time than playing through most games once. Let's be honest.
True, but still, I think a game should have replay value, not I have to replay it.
Yeah, I think if it's, why can't you just teach me these, why can't the game just be good the first time around, right?
Yeah, here's how replay value works. You play it, and then it has
you
value.
You like it, and then you want to play it again. Play it, you think, oh, I bet this is better the second
replay
time.
Replay value
around.
Isn't you replay it to get the value.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway... Basically, the game has a really, really, really great action in it and really great combat, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people say it's, like, the best action game ever made, right? I completely disagree with that statement. I think it's absolutely not the best. I think it's fucking great.
I think it's a popular action game that probably is a good...
I think it's... Okay, the main problem I have with it is people talk about how good the game is kinesthetically speaking, right?
Yeah.
How the game feels fucking magnificent. I think the game feels good. I don't think it feels... The major problem I have with it is, during the loading screens, right, they have that cool thing that, like, Assassin's Creed does too, where, like,
yeah,
you can, like, just play around with the controls in the loading screens. So you can, like, just do some practice combos and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
And when I'm doing that, it feels really cool. And I'm like, yeah, I like this game. In the loading screens, right? When there's no enemies around to fucking fight. And then I fight the enemies, and there's, like, barely any sense of contact. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, when I'm doing random combos in the loading screen, it feels pretty much exactly the same as when I'm hitting enemies in the actual game. And that's... I hate that. I want it to feel like I'm hitting things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm just doing wild combos at things, and there's a little bit of, like, reaction on screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just... It's not good enough. And aside from that, that's the one thing I have with the action. I think the action, in terms of, like, systems and stuff like that, is pretty cool. But the other thing I have with the game is there's just so much meaningless fucking trash throughout the entire game. It's such a messy, like, interruptive, noisy game the entire time. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Every level is segmented into, like, tons and tons of subsections for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Throughout a level that takes, like, half an hour to complete, will stop the level about 10 times throughout your playing of this level,
yeah,
to rank how you did in those, like, few minutes of time, and give you, like, an S rank or whatever, a B rank, and give you, like, a coin rating, and give you some extra points and stuff. And it's like, why can't you just do it once at the end of the game? I mean, at the end of the level, right? And
yeah,
then there's, like, when a mini-boss comes down, it, like, pauses the game, and it's like, enter sphere 2. I don't even fucking know what spheres are, right?
Yeah.
And then there's, like, there's just the game... Playing through a half hour level of this game, the game pauses it and tells you that you're up to the next subsection of the game about 12 times. You know what I mean? Why can't you just not ever do that ever? Because you don't need to. There's all these dumb, like, little mini games in it where, like, you've got to, like, punch a wall really hard until it, like, falls and becomes a bridge. And it's like, why can't I just walk across
this,
the bridge?
This reminds me of, like, but games like God of War that are a puzzle.
Yeah. No, but the thing is, they're not puzzles. They're just, like, little mini activities. It's like, it's more like Devil May Cry than it is like God of War.
Okay, well, what I mean to say is that a game has a thing that it does really well, but it has to have these extra things that aren't the bit that doing.
The only reason
God of War should literally just be an army of dudes.
Yes,
and then you have
absolutely
to kill them all.
God of War should just be you kill everybody, right? That's why I'm playing these games. I'm not playing these games so I can do a combo on a treasure chest to get 30 extra coins.
You know,
I don't fucking care,
like,
right?
Honestly, more games need to understand, look, if you've got one thing that you do well, do that thing. If you're going to do more stuff,
do it well.
Do them
don't
well.
Just fucking put it in there for no reason.
I mean, at least
if
you're going to have a story, at least do what Vanquish did where it was funny.
Yeah, Bayonetta does that. Bayonetta's story is, like, so batshit crazy that it's kind of humorous a little bit.
Yeah.
But only a little bit.
it's also really embarrassing to watch half the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, who... It's just like... It's like it's written by a 12-year-old who thinks he's being really cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, the main character, she's going to be, like, a witch, right? And then, like, her hair is her outfit. And then, like, when she does her super moves, she, like, gets naked. And then her hair becomes a wolf. And it, like, eats all the people. And that's, like, really cool. And then there's, like, these angels, but they're also demons. And so they're, like, angel demons. And then they're, like... have dragon heads, and then there's like magic, and she can like shoot magic, and she has like guns on her shoes, and like, and then she can run on walls when she enters slow mo, like,
so you're saying
super
if,
witch mode.
You're saying if Bayonetta appeared in an issue of Axe Cop, you wouldn't be surprised.
I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. But this is written by adults. There were like a group of adults that sat down and were like, we're going to do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, fucking Christ, who are you? Who makes this game and thinks like, yeah,
well,
this is a thing we should do.
I hate pulling on this thing because I feel kind of rude, but there's a bit of Japanese culture that just leaks into
it's
games
just,
that's just...
like, and there's so many people that kind of like stand up for Bayonetta. They're like, no, it's not a sexualized game. She's like an empowered woman. And it's like, okay, can I just tell you the fucking first time Bayonetta is in this game, right?
Yeah.
She wears like a suit, and then these blades come out of nowhere and cut her suit up right at her boobs, right? And her ass and her legs, right? And then the suit, like, explodes and she's fucking naked. And then she's like, don't worry, I've got a hair suit. You know what I mean? It's like, no, this game is extraordinarily sexualized and it's horrendous and it's hideous and I hate it.
Well,
and on top of all that, the art style is fucking disgusting. You know how Devil May Cry has that kind of, like, pseudo-modern, pseudo-gothic style? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, like, really gross-looking?
Yeah.
Bayonetta does that, but it does it, like, even worse.
Okay.
And it's so fucking bad. Anyway, I'm just going to stop talking about Bayonetta now. But I think the action in the game is, like, a solid 9 out of 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And every other part of the game is, like, a 2 out of 10.
Wow. I you know, honestly, reviewers... Sometimes, like, games like Bioshock and stuff, like, they...
Bioshock.
There are so many games that back in the day did a thing well, but we all didn't realize that they did a lot of other things not well.
And I think there's also a thing that I'm playing Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2 at the moment as well.
Oh, yeah.
Ninja Gaiden Sigma 1, which is... I mean, I haven't played the Xbox version, so I've only played the PS3 remake.
Well, Tim Rogers hates,
like
half of that
let's
game.
Let's not talk about Tim Rogers here. No one cares, right?
Okay.
Let's talk about us, what we actually think.
Okay,
what other people think.
Okay.
Ninja Gaiden is my favorite action game of all time, right? There's this just absolute pureness to it. It is how an action game should be. You know what you do in Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
You start a level, right? There's a short cutscene... that's, like, literally no longer than a minute, right? It contextualizes everything you need to know, which is, these are the bad guys, you are in this area, go kill them, right?
Right.
Then you play through the level, wherein which you do two things. You move through the level, and you fight things. And you do nothing other than those two things. There are no puzzles, there are no chests that you have to punch lots of times to open, right? There are no, like, oh, I've got to, like, break down this wall with my combo, right?
Right.
You just move through the level, enemies come out, you fight the enemies, you go further into the level, more enemies come out, you do that until you get to the end of the level, wherein which you fight the boss, and then you go to the next level. Nothing else ever happens in that game, because it's pure, right?
Right.
It is an action game, and you're there for the action. And it has and on top of it being the most pure action game, right, it also has the best action. The combat in that game is so much more, like, deliberate and precise than in any other game. Like, in Bayonetta, I can find myself just mashing on the buttons really hard and winning, like, playing through any level without a problem. You know what I mean?
Right.
I can fight a boss and just, like, run up to them and just, like, press triangle and press circle and press triangle and press circle and, like, mash the analog stick in different directions to do special moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then every now and then, I'll press the dodge button to dodge their attack, and I'm good, right?
Right.
I don't need to worry about what I'm doing. In Ninja Gaiden, you need to know how your moves work. You can't just mash buttons in that game because you won't do combos. Your combos will end, like, spontaneously because your moves will stop, you know what I mean? You need to know what you're doing. You need to know when you have to stop, when you have to keep going. You need to be aware of space. You need to be aware of what moves your enemies do and how they approach you, how many of them are, where they are. Like, it's a really deliberate, really precise, really well-designed action system. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's something that you have no alternative but to learn how to play it. You know what I mean? It's like the action game equivalent of Dark Souls, basically. I mean, I'm not saying it in any other regard other than the combat. But like, you know, in Dark Souls, you can't just walk up to an enemy in Dark Souls and just like attack them. You know what I mean? You've got to know how to approach them. That's the same in Ninja Gaiden. You can't just like randomly press shit and expect to win. You have to learn how to play, and it's so much more rewarding, and it just feels so much better. It's such a kinesthetically like sharp and exact game, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like appropriately, it's like a katana, you know what I mean? This game is just like sharp and precise, and it will always do exactly what it wants to do and nothing more, you know what I mean? Or nothing less.
Yeah.
And it's just so much better than Bayonetta. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry everyone that really likes Bayonetta.
How's its treatment of women, though?
Oh, well, that's another story. Yeah. I mean, but to be fair, Bayonetta's not...
I mean, you did criticize Bayonetta before, so...
Okay, look, if we're going to talk about the story in Ninja Gaiden, it's hideous, and it's awful, right? We're going to talk about how the female characters all have really, really huge, enormous,
like,
jiggly boots that you can shake with the six-axis controller, that's disgusting.
If you're going to do I know it's not the whole thing, and I know that the gameplay is just that good, but still... Like, if you're going to have a story, just have a simple, like...
Yeah, I agree. Dude, I agree. I completely agree. To be fair, Ryu Hayabusa also wears skin-tight clothing.
Yeah, but again...
And he's got a sleeveless shirt on.
As we have said, that doesn't negatively affect men as badly.
I know, but it's still important that we point that out, right?
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure most ninjas aren't, like, super fucking Hulk buff, right? And Ryu Hayabusa is really, really, really buff, right? And that's the thing you have to point out.
Okay.
And to be fair, not all the women in Ninja Gaiden are sexualized.
Okay.
At one point, you fight the Statue of Liberty, and the Statue of Liberty still wears her clothes. All right? So there's that.
Okay.
But yeah, no. That aside, the horrendous misogyny aside, as just an experience and a game where the game is particularly about just the gameplay and nothing else, it really understands that and really does it pretty much as good as it could possibly be.
Wow.
Whereas Bayonetta is just stuffed to the fucking brim with things you don't want to do. Right. I didn't even bring up the fucking stupid shooting minigame at the end of each level in Bayonetta. I'm not going to get into it, but it's the worst minigame I've ever played in my life.
Okay. So is there anything else you played?
No.
Owen?
No. I just bought a bunch of games, but I haven't played them yet.
Okay.
But yeah, that basically, Ninja Gaiden, the best action game. Bayonetta, not the best action game.
Okay.
That's what I have to say about that.
Alright.
Yes.
Well, I played The Witcher recently.
Oh, yeah.
Which was an experience. I'll just go over. So I, you all know, I got like a PC and stuff, and I was all excited about my.
Yeah, we talked about that last episode.
Yeah. So I had a bunch of games, and I was like all excited. And I'm like, finally, I can play HD PC games. Let's get into it. So I got The Witcher, and I was like, yes, this is the game. Finally, ready to play it. And start playing it, and it's cool for a cutscene. That's the intro cutscene, and then you get to the actual cutscenes in the game, and it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's like they don't know how to set up scenes. They talk like this, like, hello there, how are you doing? What's going on? How are you? I feel such feelings for you, Elenia. And let's go, no, I don't know how I feel about you. And to top it all off, beyond terrible dialogue.
Hey, dude, it could be worse. It could be Fable, all right?
You know what? I appreciate Fable's honesty and how much of a lie its conversation and social system is. Because no one else will do that, okay? Everyone else pretends like they've got
like, you high-fived a female. Now she wants to marry you. Yeah.
Every other game, though, does that. They just add a little bit of extra budget to it.
Yeah, true. That's kind of true.
That's the fucking Mass Effect social system, okay?
Yeah.
You press the positive one, then you marry them.
Yeah.
It's the same fucking shit, okay?
So you didn't like Witcher too much?
I didn't, because... I mean, okay. Looking at the cutscene, I mean, she... Like, she's meant to be this serious female character. She's been getting the right dialogue. And then she has a shirt that's like... all the way down to a belly button V-neck thing, right?
Yeah.
And then her boobs have their own mind, have a mind of their own where they're just moving around in this circle.
Yeah.
So that jiggle physics, right? You know? And then you get to the combat, and the trailer makes it feel like it's kind of like he moves around and you have a lot of control there, and it reminds me of, like, Assassin's Creed or some shit, right? I'm not expecting it to be just like that, but still.
Assassin's Creed combat is bad, though.
But my point is that he has some kind of movement. He can control himself. The combat's nothing like that. It's click with your mouse, hit, hit, hit. He does all this, by the way, not you. He hits, 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 hits.
In the second game, it's a lot different, I'm pretty sure. But just don't play it, man. Look, be happy that you bought this on PC, so it probably cost you about $3, right? So who really cares?
But it's still like, it's like, hit, 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 and then you wait for the icon, hit, hit, hit.
Yeah.
And I'm not bothered by the purchase. I'm like, it's just another Steam game.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to wonder why the world, like, everyone praises this
Everyone
game.
Praises The Witcher 2. They don't praise The Witcher first game.
Because this is...
They say it's a good game, but it's not, like, anything crazy.
This is atrocious.
Yeah.
So, I didn't enjoy that. I played Thief. You can't move to the left. That made me feel weird.
You can't strafe in a first-person game. That's so weird. I didn't realize that. I'm pretty sure you can in the second game. Because I've only played the second one, and I didn't realize.
But you're just sitting there, and then you have to, like...
You got to move around. You got to look around to move.
Yeah.
That's super strange. It's super, super strange.
Feels weird when you do. Like, games have come a ways.
Yeah. And but I mean, even Doom let you strafe, right? Like, why would this game not let you do it? That's so strange.
I don't get that. Apparently, you're just incapable of moving to the left without saying, just that paranoid about the being thievery. I've already talked about Mark the Ninja, I think.
No, you haven't.
Well, Mark of the Ninja was really fun for me.
You played that game a fucking ton. You played like 30 hours in like a day, man.
It was so much fucking fun. It's Mark of the Ninja is just a solid stealth game. It doesn't do anything else but just get the stealth right.
Yeah.
Love it for that. Like, it's got an okay story that's kind of cool to follow, but there are some things, especially the ending, that are just kind of like, it's all right. But... It's just the stealth is so spot on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's... just following the cards and trying to figure out how to get past certain areas is just... Feels right.
Yeah. I've said this to you, that I've never played a 2D stealth game that didn't feel to me like it was a puzzle game disguised as a stealth game. But you like this a lot, and a lot of people like this, so I bought it. It was in the Humble Bundle, the new one.
Yeah.
So I just bought the new Humble Bundle and just so I can get that.
Yeah.
And I've not played it yet, but I've played Shank 2 and Don't Starve, which was by the same guys, and I really disliked all of them. So I'm kind of not excited to play this.
I don't think everyone loved the previous, like, their previous games, outside of Don't Starve for some reason. So.
I really didn't like that game. Like, really, really badly.
I don't know.
I think it's got a lot to do with the art style. It's got that Tim Burton look to it, and I fucking despise that shit. I think it's just hideous.
Well, you're like people who hate Joss Whedon dialogue, you know?
Well, no, because...
Like,
Joss Whedon's the only person that does Joss Whedon dialogue, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every fucking retard under the sun just fucking draws triangular-looking trees and then thinks it looks like Tim Burton stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hate it so much.
Well... There's not Tim Burton art style in Mark of the Ninja, so it's okay.
Yeah, good. I'm very happy about that.
But, you know, I just... It's
the same reason I've never been bothered to play Limbo, because I just look at that game and I'm like, I can't play a game that looks like that.
I know, there's some moments that are genuinely terrifying in that game.
Yeah, but the game just looks ugly. Just looks so ugly.
All right. But it doesn't come across as a puzzle. There isn't, like, an obvious answer. You're not solving it.
Yeah, but... So there's more than, like, one solution to everything.
Oh, yeah. Like, first off, you can kill or, like, just walk by.
Yeah, of course. But, like, I don't know. I've always played puzzle games... I've always played stealth games in 2D and been like, this is basically a puzzle. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Whereas 3D stealth games...
But what's another stealth game that's, like, a 2D game?
Oh, man, I don't know. I can't think of one.
I can't think of them. This is, like, the first one I've probably played.
I've played some on, like, Newgrounds and that kind of thing. I can't think of the name of any of them.
I've played stealth survival games, like, the ones where you're, like, so weak that you have to get past, like, Abe's Odyssey, but nothing more than that.
Mm. But, yeah, I don't know. I've always just... The hallmark of stealth games for me has always been Splinter Cell 3. I think that game's a masterpiece. And, so whenever I play a stealth game, I'm just like, this game, I could just play Splinter Cell 3 again. And I do that a lot, actually. That game's really good. You should play it. They re-released Splinter Cell in HD on PlayStation and stuff. And you can just get Splinter Cell 3 on Steam for like $10 or something. It's a good purchase.
Okay.
You should buy it. I'll buy it for you one day, maybe. It's really good.
Pimp Daddy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played Plants vs. Zombies, which I had a whole lot of fun with. I know, you're like... These are like these popular games, and you're like the one guy who's like, I don't get it.
It's not that it's popular, it's that it's just a boring game.
It's really fun.
it's so slow, and it's just, like, it's got way less, like, strategic merit than a standard tower defense game does. There's, like, no... There's barely any, like, environmental, like, space-oriented strategy to it at all. It's just like, oh, I gotta place some dudes in this row, some dudes in this row, and some dudes in this row, and then I'm good. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, I did play Plants vs. Zombies 2 on my iPad for, like, probably about 6 hours, and I was like, this is an enjoyable experience, but it's still not a very good game at all. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And Plants vs. Zombies 1, I bought that on Steam, like, ages ago.
I'm not making an argument for you.
And I played it for, like, an hour and a half, and I was like, I'm never touching this game again.
I know you don't like the game, but I'm just saying, for me,
yeah,
I had a lot of fun playing them, okay?
I don't understand.
I did.
No one's ever been able to explain to me why they're fun.
I don't know, you make such a great case for why you don't think they're fun, so I just let you not enjoy them, because, you know, may as well respect the fact that you probably got a good reason.
Yeah, but no one has a good reason for liking them.
It's fun setting up your flowers and just trying to get through the level and survive.
You can do that in any other tower defense game as well.
Yeah, but
like, well,
I've played those tower defense games, and I'm like, this is fun, but this is really fun.
I don't understand.
There isn't an objective thing I can point to. It's just fun.
Okay, well, what else have we been doing?
What else have we been doing?
That's about it.
Breaking Bad.
Oh, man, Breaking Bad has 3 episodes left.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. And there's another one coming out today, actually.
Last two episodes, I was kind of iffy on, like, the one before the last episode that was basically just the conclusion is...
Let's just not talk about it.
Okay, fine. But I just thought it was, like, revolved around basically next to nothing happened in it. And then the episode...
True. I liked it.
I liked it, but... Meh. And the one following it had, like, a moment that was kind of like, come on.
The ending of the...
previous episode
was fucking dumb.
Not the episode that's been released this week.
Okay, it's the fourth to last episode is what we're talking about. And it's the ending of it, if they had just had that final section of the thing, if they just made it last, like, 3 seconds rather than, like, 25 seconds,
yeah,
it would have been super cool. But it wasn't that, so it was super shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad as, like, the ending to season 2 or anything like that, but, I mean, it was pretty shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the ending of a whole season, but still.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't think anyone can understand why they decided to do what they did.
I'm just so excited because now we're at, like...
We're at the end now, man.
We're at the end, okay?
This is about to go down.
No more fucking status quo shit. We are here, okay?
Yeah.
This is what I've been waiting a whole fucking season for.
Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
Yeah, they already threw it down the gauntlet at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just been building and building.
It's gonna be fucking good.
Oh.
Yeah.
We will probably do an episode.
Yeah, we can do a Breaking Bad episode when it's finished.
Just talk about the journey.
Let's talk about why it's the best show ever.
Yeah. Because it honestly is probably the show that has pretty much nailed down the Sopranos guy who goes down a morally grey path and then...
Yeah.
And probably does it the best because it nails it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've done anything else, though, lately.
I don't know. I can't remember. I haven't even seen any movies recently.
No.
There's nothing been coming out. I want to see Riddick. We should go see Riddick.
I don't know if I care to.
Oh, man, come on.
I'd rather just watch Pitch Black.
How do you know that? Maybe this is going to be good.
I haven't even...
People say it's going
to
be good.
I need to see Pitch Black again.
Well, then go watch Pitch Black.
I don't... What, have people been saying it's good?
Yeah, people say it's good. People say it's like Pitch Black 2. That sounds fucking cool, man.
There's like
Pitch Black 1 was pretty great. Let's watch it again.
Well, from what I know, like, someone, like, apparently there's, like, a gay chick in the movie who gets turned straight.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. And that's really awful.
That is
dumb. Because Riddick's, like, such a man that she's like, okay, I'm just gonna be straight now.
Yeah.
But, look, aside from that, that's pretty hideous. But, I mean, the rest of the movie can still be cool.
I don't know.
Man, I don't know. I really like Pitch Black, and I would really be into seeing a 2013 version of Pitch Black. I hope they have the same, like, cool, awesome color palette thing that they had in Pitch Black.
Well, they've got... It's all red and shit now.
I want red. I like that in... You know how they had, like, that... Like, for the first half of the movie, before it, like, spoilers, got dark. How, like, every shot was, like, this really, really, really one, like, monochrome shot every single time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was always, like, really, really blue or really, really yellow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I fucking dig that. It's such a cool, like, artistic style.
Mm.
And I hope they can do something like that again.
Mm. I'm intrigued.
I really like that movie. And that movie's, like, really flawed, but really, really good. Like, such a good fucking movie.
I love
that scene where he's shaving with his fucking, like, combat knife, and he calls it, like, and one of the guys is like, "You shouldn't have that on you. It's a weapon," or something like that. And then he's like, "It's my personal grooming apparatus," or something like that. That's a cool word. I want to use that.
Apparatus.
I think that's what he says. No, I think he says utensil. Personal grooming utensil. Something like that. That's just a cool thing to call your knife that you shave your head with, that you also kill people with. I like that movie a lot.
I like that movie. Yeah. I don't know. I'm happy that Vin Diesel's getting more stuff that he can do, because I like Vin Diesel.
Also, that's an Australian movie. We should be happy about that, man.
Oh, yeah, that... And it's not typically Australian either, so
no.
That makes me so happy.
It's a movie that's just got Australian people in it that I'm pretty sure was filmed in Australia.
It's like, hey, here's a movie that doesn't have to... Like, that doesn't have to bring out the Australian flag and say, we are Australian.
You know, there are actually so much fewer movies that do that than you think there are. They're
maybe.
Just the ones that you see in mainstream media. There are so many brilliant Australian movies that are just movies that just happen to be in Australia. And you just hate them because they've got, like, accents in them. You know what I mean? Just fucking watch some good Australian movies. There's tons of really good Australian movies.
I'm not...
You just, like, hate... You just hear about a movie being Australian. You're just like, I don't like it.
I'm specifically talking about the ones that I have...
Yeah, just don't watch those
fucking... And I have seen a lot of them because I've seen a lot of them because I get taken to them by my mom because...
Have you seen Look Both Ways yet? I told you to watch that, like, 2 years ago. You have a DVD copy of it
in your house. How many movies do you own?
Like a billion. This is important. It's an Australian movie that's not typically Australian. That's just about Australian people that are just living ordinary lives. But it's a really, really good movie. And it's really, really, like, got cool artistic stuff in it.
Mom.
And you have it in your house somewhere. I saw your mum, like, bought it. I don't know where it is. But look, just watch it. It's a movie in Australia.
I've seen Australian
really
stuff that's good. I mean, I've seen, like for example, The Slap's good and Underbelly's good, where...
Yeah, exactly.
It's just...
Or even, there are movies about Australia that are good. Rabbit Proof Fence is fucking amazing. You know what I mean? That movie is specifically about Australia, but it's a really brilliant film. But if anything, it, like, condemns Australia than it does, like, patriotize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that.
Just don't be like, oh, Australian movies. Australian movies are cool. There are just as many ultra-patriotic American movies, and, like, you know what, that probably kind of sucks for American people, probably hate that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I mean, the non-patriotic ones.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't get fucking angry about those. Yeah, there are, because most mainstream American movies are super patriotic, dude. Iron Man, hello. All those, like, White House Down movies and shit. What the fuck is that if it isn't super patriotic?
Honestly, even... Well, actually, it's probably more patriotic about the modern day. But, you know, those movies probably don't really release as much because they release more global movies, which I'm more into.
But no, they just release American movies all over the world, and everyone sees them anyway because everyone loves America.
No, like Pacific Rim did well. Like it actually did well.
Yeah, in like China, but like
no, it did. It did made the money that showed that yes, indeed, we don't need to appeal to American audiences.
Yeah, no, of course I understand that, but like all I'm saying is there were two movies this year about the White House being invaded by terrorists. Is all I'm saying. Okay,
I'm not saying that's not a thing.
That's
and I'm not complimenting America for anything. I'm simply saying that. Not every popular American movie is like, hey, Australia is amazing. And all the popular Australian ones that get budgets, they get to do stuff that I find...
That's because we haven't got an enormous film industry, dude. What do you expect?
I'm not saying I'm
expecting
it.
If we get suddenly Hollywood in Australia, then of course...
I'm not saying I'm expecting them to do those things, but I'm not interested then.
Well, just watch the non-mainstream ones, Jesus Christ.
I don't have time to watch every movie.
I'm not saying you should watch every movie, I'm just saying you should watch a few of them. So you can understand that they exist.
I don't know.
I can see. I found it. I can see Look Both Ways on your DVD collection right there. It's a brilliant movie about stuff. Okay? Watch it.
Okay, and what's it about?
It's about people that have bad lives, and it's a drama and stuff.
Okay, I'll watch
it. One of them has, like, cancer. The other one has, like, depression. But it's not, like... bad. It's really good. And it's got this really cool...
I'm not even getting...
It's got this really cool creative artistic thing where they put, like, illustrations and paintings and stuff throughout the movie all the time.
Yeah.
And there's, like, little animated sections made of, like, crayon and stuff. And it's pretty awesome.
Okay, I'll watch it, but I'm not even bored of that on a whether it's a strain or not, that's not the part. It's just like, I don't know. I've seen there were these movies that were released in around about like about the end of the 90s or something, or like 2000, I would say.
Yeah.
1999 was the year that some people praise, which was like, it's like Being John Malkovich, it was American Woman. It's called Pretty. Oh, I forget what it was called. It's American Beauty. That's it. American Beauty. There's probably like one more I'm missing here. But they're like, they're cool ideas, but they're not like big summery Hollywood, you know, superhero thing. They're just, they're these cool ideas where we get to sort of see something that, you know, that just seems, that interests me. You know, that's what I like about Limitless. It was
What's
like,
this got to do with Australian movies?
It's not Australian movies. It's more a general thing of just, I don't know. I don't really find stories just about people who live normal lives doing normal things as interesting. I mean, I'll watch it.
If it's a really well-made movie, then you do.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it. I'll see what it's like. Just a personal taste.
you're just extraordinarily dismissive of Australian film. You just, as soon as you
hear, I have my reasons, okay?
You know, but you don't even like to, you don't even like stop to read about what it's about or listen to someone. You're just like, oh, it's an Australian film. I'm going to not listen.
Experience has taught me that it doesn't interest me, okay?
But there can be good Australian films. Why can't you watch those?
Because, I don't know, the bulk of Australian culture...
Yeah, the bulk of American culture is really shit and gross and stuff as well. And, like, I don't care. I still watch a ton of American movies.
Yeah, but I don't have to see that stuff. I rarely
have to... You don't have to see the Australian stuff either if you don't want to. No one's forcing it down your throat.
I will watch the movie, okay?
Good. It's a good movie.
I'm just saying that there are things that annoy me, okay? And I have reasons, and they are legitimate, okay?
Yeah, I'm not saying they're not legitimate, but you're dismissing everything else because of those reasons.
I am just yet to see enough proof to say that there is this whole industry that shies away from the part that annoys me, okay? But I will see if this one does. I'm guessing it probably does.
It's pretty good.
You know,
it's pretty cool.
But as I was saying originally with Pitch Black...
Yeah, that's a movie that's Australian that's not Australian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although then again, if only we could have Australian leads.
Hey, to be fair, the Star Wars prequels were filmed in Australia.
Yeah, but I mean, like, can we have, like... Shut up. Can't we have a movie like Pitch Black where they're Australian and it's still not, like...
Django Unchained had Australians in it at the end.
That was kind of weird. that was kind of weird, and they were kind of doing the whole, like... But this was kind of how Americans view Australians, which is... Yeah.
Yeah.
Australians.
Well, to be fair, they were like...
They were
super
like...
outback people from like 1800-something, right?
They were like that.
So, yeah, they probably were like that.
I'm not doubting there was that part of our culture, but...
Yeah. And there still is that part of our culture.
Oh, I hate that part. That's why we
have to... Yeah, but that's just like rednecks in America. No one likes rednecks, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same thing.
But no one looks at America and says they're all rednecks.
Fuck yeah, they do.
I don't.
Yeah, you don't, but there are plenty of people that do.
Yeah, but it's not
you
like...
You know how there's that enormous stereotype that America's all dumb? That's the people that think that everyone's a redneck. Everyone that thinks that America's like a completely dumb country full
That's
of...
That's not
idiots.
As bad. Like, being uninformed isn't as bad as being thought of as a hick, basically.
But the people that are uninformed...
I mean, stereotypes are always bad, generally speaking.
Look, I'm sure there are billions of people in the world that look at Australia and don't think everyone else is a cunt as well, you know what I mean? Like, there are plenty of informed people that don't think Australia is this fucking, like, super backwards country. There are just a few people, and they're a vocal minority. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how it is with every other country in the world as well.
I don't know. Anyway.
But yeah, I think we're done with this episode,
I think we're done.
Okay.
So, mates.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
Come round next week.
Yeah. So, what are we, just talking about shit again, yeah?
Talking about shit.
Cool, I like it.
It's nice and free, open form.
Yeah, I like that.
It's a lot easier than having to spend, like, the week trying to make up a topic and...
Yeah, fuck that.
It's kind of boring.
Talking about things we like.
Yeah.
We should try the Insert Credit podcast style as well, where we have, like... We need a group of people for this, of course, because it's kind of game showy.
Yeah.
But, we have, like, a question, and then we talk about that question for, like, 5 or so minutes, and then we move on to the next question, and we have, like, 10 questions or something.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty fun.
We just need to get everyone together again.
Yeah, we just need to get some people hanging out against
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
Which is tricky. Everyone gets all kind of bored. They're like,
yeah. And we've all got bad schedules this semester with uni.
Fucking uni.
But yeah.
Anyway. See you next week. Henry, out. Are you out, Dylan?
Yeah, I'm out.